I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
And looky here over on YouTube. It is one hell of a good looking man, ladies and gentlemen, right here on the River Islands guest line, Odyssey NBA insider, our guy, Nick Friedell, joining us to talk a little Warrior basketball. Hello, sir. How are you?
Guys, I'm great. How we doing?
We're doing good. Is Jimmy Butler playing tonight? Come on. I know you know.
We'll see. But, Mark, the fact that they blew those last two games.
Oof.
Yikes. Because what's worse is it felt like when Giannis went out, the wind in the sails of the arena in Milwaukee and certainly in that room, it was like, darn, all right. We're not going to get the Steph Giannis showdown we all wanted, but there was no reason for them to lose that game. And then to compound it and go to Indy, where the Pacers, they can hardly field a healthy team. They've had so many injuries to start the year. I felt like that loss was even worse than the Milwaukee one, which was terrible. So if you're 6-1 and Jimmy's questionable, you're going, okay. At 4-3, with Jimmy being questionable, there's just no reason for it. And I think that's why Steve Kerr was so pissed off on Saturday night.
Yeah, those are the wins that you need to stack. And I believe that was Indy's first win of the year, and you had a double-digit lead with 6 minutes to go. So when you think about the Western Conference, Nick, are these the ones that you can't afford to let get away, especially early on when you're trying to stack wins?
Mr. Dibbs, that's exactly right. And that's why they felt like, oh, no, here we go again. And you guys have seen it. We all have the last few years. When they want to play, they can beat anybody. When they don't want to play, they really can lose to anybody. And you kind of felt like they had crossed that threshold, at least in the first week, because the momentum was there. Everybody was playing pretty well. And you thought, oh, man. No Giannis in Milwaukee, and here comes Ryan Rollins, and everybody's looking around going, are you kidding me? This is really happening? And Mr. Dibbs, on Saturday, to see how they closed that game, they had that lead. They should have closed out Indy and run away with it, but they just kept letting them hang on. And I know, in the there's always the extreme reaction. The first week, oh, my gosh, title contenders. The second week, oh, they're so old. They don't really – they don't have the pieces. They're not moving the same way. To me, guys, a couple weeks in, it is so very clear when they want to play, they're going to be just fine. When they don't want to play and the intensity's not there, and Kerr kept talking about the execution, when it's not there, well, then they got big problems. But there is no reason in the second week of the season you should be talking about a lack of execution and do they really want it. Those were just awful, awful games. But I don't think the sky is falling for this team either.
No, not yet. Not yet. On the line is Odyssey Sports NBA insider Nick Friedell. Check out all of Odyssey's newest sports podcasts on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Hey, Nick, what are they saying about the defense? You mentioned Ryan Rollins. Like, what's up with at least one player on the other team just seemingly having a career night every night that they face the Warriors? What's up with that? What's the concern level on the defense early in the season?
Mark, the question is right, but the answer is very foggy because we're walking in there the last two nights. And you're like, well, what's the problem? Why isn't the defense where it needs to be? And there's this kind of collective, the shoulder shrug of, well, we've got to guard our man better, and we've got to make sure that we execute. It's just cliched stuff. I think they're frustrated, but I can't look at what's happened those last couple of games, and we'll take the Ryan Rollins game and go, oh, well, the flaw is in the defensive side of what's going on. Because my point is, and I think it's what they're feeling, they know they kind of went through the motions. And they know they kind of let their foot off the gas because they sat there and went, all right, no Giannis. The Pacers have just a handful of really talented guys. There's a bunch of G League guys floating around, and they're just getting beat by players that want it more. I think the larger issue, again, going back to those last couple games, and we'll see what happens next few weeks, is it's a reminder to them, especially to Steph and Draymond, which they've lived, but it hit them back in the face these last couple games. Every single time they hit the floor, everybody wants to beat the Warriors. Everybody's going to have a little extra jolt in their step. Everybody's going to run through every pick and roll, and they're going to try to defend everybody a little differently. And let's take Steph. I mean, Steph is Steph, and he's still incredible. But in that game the other night, he was 4 of 16 from beyond the arc. He was jacking up shots all over the place, and you're going, well, what is he doing? And the turnovers are there. So before I start to think, all right, there's really a defensive issue, and they really look old, and they really look a step slow, I think the larger issue is looking in the mirror before they get out on the floor and saying, hey, we deserve to give everybody a professional effort tonight. And especially in those last couple games, as far as the intensity goes, it just wasn't there at all.
And we've heard Draymond always joke about, oh, I can't get up for Orlando in December, or, you know, whatever the city and the month is. But that's kind of the way it looked the other night. And is it as much the vets and the disinterest, or is it also a piece of the young guys maybe just not being good enough?
Mr. Dibbs, I think the second piece is something we're going to find out over the next few weeks. If you start to see the Pods and the Moody's in post, Guy Santos, I mean, we know the names. I think Kuminga has now played his way almost out of that group because he's been so solid most of the time. But those extra names, Will Richard, we haven't seen as much, at least in the last couple games. But if those guys don't start taking more of a group step together, then that could be a problem. But again, just for me, I think it starts when you lose those kind of games with your leaders. And if Steph and Draymond are kind of out there like, the Pacers, come on, they haven't won a game, and they're jacking up shots all over the place. Well, you've got to look back to who is setting the tone. And to Steph's credit with that point, on Saturday, I think he knew, hey, I didn't play well. I can play a lot better, and I'm the one that has to get everybody on the same page. So I still think they're a really deep team. I think they have the pieces they're going to need down the line. But to sit there and look at where this team was the week before in the first week, and to look at them tonight as they go into this game at 4-3 after those two losses, it's just frankly ridiculous, because they should have been wiping those teams out. It didn't happen. They let them hang around. And to not even split, that's pretty sad against a much lower quality opponent with who was on the floor.
It's our guy Nick Friedell, Odyssey NBA insider, joining us every single Tuesday right here on Willard and Dibbs, and the Warriors will host the Suns tonight right here on 95.7 The Game. All right, Nick, it's only been seven games, but everybody has decided it's kumbaya now with Jonathan Kuminga. Does he feel that way? Do you think he now wants to be here long term?
I think he feels that way right now, Mark. I talked to him actually for a couple minutes before that Indy game, and he said it meant a lot to him that Steve Kerr put him in the starting lineup, and he feels like he's found his own role within this team. To the question about whether he wants to be here long term, though, I think we're going to find that out as the season rolls along, because the real issue in Kuminga's play was never, did he have the athleticism? Did he have the talent? We knew those things were apparent. The question was, is he consistent enough on a nightly basis to think that the Warriors were going to pay him mega money in the future? And he's proven early on, at least in these first couple weeks, that he can be, that he can take his game to that point. But can he do it for a couple months at a time? Can he do it when Steph and Draymond and Jimmy don't have it going the same way? Can he carry the offensive load and maintain what he needs to do defensively to be one of those guys? We're going to see. But I don't think there's any question, when you watch him play on the floor, when you watch the way he's interacting with his teammates off of it, and when you listen to what he's saying, I think he's in a really good place right now. I mean, Warriors can only hope that it stays that way over the course of the season.
Nick, great stuff. Big game tonight. Big game tomorrow. See if they can get back on track. We appreciate you, and we'll talk to you next week.
Guys, the games never stop with this team, and in all the years I've been doing this, I have never seen a stranger schedule. It's like they're back here tonight. They go on the road for a few. They're back here Sunday, and then they're gone for like 2.5 weeks. So caution to all Warriors fans. Even if they start to look a little shaky here, this schedule really is brutal. Everybody take a deep breath. Let's see what happens about a month from now.
Interesting take. Yeah, actually, a little more on that coming up because I was talking to some birdies who work for the Suns last night over a couple of cocktails, and there's a thought or two on what Nick just said. But, Nick, great stuff. Thank you, my man.
You got it, guys. See you later.
All right, there it goes. That's Nick Friedell, Odyssey Sports NBA insider. Nick Friedell. Check out of all of Odyssey's newest sports podcasts on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Tune in for Warriors Live today at 6, presented by Xfinity, your home court advantage, brought to you by Xfinity. Watch all your favorite teams all in one place. Xfinity, imagine that. Grandy, you tonight? Evan, what's going on tonight? What's going on tonight?
Evan tonight.
Okay, Warriors Live with E-Dog coming up at 6. But we're not done yet, and Feliciano joins us at 5. It's Willie and Dibby.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
It's a fantastic question. It really is. First time I've been asked it this way.
Ooh, that's a good question.
Well, that's a great question.
On 95.7 The Game.
We try to ask as many great questions as possible.
Ooh, that's a great question.
And
Chris Broussard, that's an awesome one.
I'll just say this about today. I don't really want to weigh in on who got in a great question, but boy, we've had some great guests.
You had a great question. It was a good question.
He did say it was a good question.
Yeah.
But it was kind of an untraditional way of saying, I don't even remember what the hell it was.
It was toward the end.
Yeah.
It was one of your typical good questions like, hey, how you doing today? Well, that's a good question. It was Tony Vitello, I believe.
What kind of product do you use in your beard? Well, that's a great question, Mark.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tony was awesome. Tony Vitello came on the show today. Y'all should go find that on the Odyssey app or YouTube. We could throw a little bit of it at you, too. Let's see. Tony was asked why he made the decision to leave Tennessee for the Giants.
Ultimately, the challenge, I think Buster Posey was the X factor. If you're comfortable in a position, you work it, you know, it could be South Carolina, or it could be Florida State. It doesn't have to be in our league. It could be at Oregon, and it's going well. And by that, I mean, you know, we're having a little success, but there's really strong relationships in place. It's a great, you know, place and people to work around. Then it's going to be tough to leave. So it's got to be a situation where some criteria is met. I think once you start dissecting each organization in the big leagues, there's 30 teams, and it's all under one label. But they're all very, very different. That's something we tried to educate recruits on, is just because you get drafted, it doesn't mean you're getting drafted by Major League Baseball. You're getting drafted by a certain organization. And when you break down all the things that are in the Bay Area with, again, the tradition, how cool of a city and area it is, the park, the way everything is structured from Greg Johnson on down, the roster, the current roster certainly is not it's not oh poor me. We need to find some players. We're in a decent spot. Obviously, everybody wants to get better. All these things started to pile up. And then ultimately, if you're able to attach your name to one of the biggest winners in the history of American sports in Buster, that maybe is one thing that kind of pushes or tips it over the edge.
Forget good question. How about good answer? Good answer.
Yeah.
Good answer. I find myself doing that a lot when I listen to Tony Vitello talk.
I like the answer because I'm thinking about Tony and where he is. And 7 years at Tennessee, you've won 70% of your games or more. You won the Natty. You've been there. You've done that. It's been great. You were the highest paid coach in the NCAA. And also, you're in a new era now with, you know, the image and likeness and players getting paid. So it's a little bit of a new frontier. And yet, you have a chance to manage in San Francisco. And I was just thinking about all the jobs in Major League Baseball and where this one might rank, and put aside current roster, although I like the roster. It's not the best. It's certainly not the worst. But I think about city, tradition, front office and ownership, location, fan base. This is a pretty plum job as far as all those things. You have an ownership,
there's no question.
That has shown, yeah, we're going to spend now. We're not just trying to break even. He mentioned Buster Posey. Buster's a legend and a fellow Southerner. And it's clear that this organization right now is looking to turn it over and upset the apple cart a little. So if you're Tony Vitello and you're 47, this is a great time to take this leap and a great place in which to take the jump.
If you ask, like, best jobs in baseball as manager.
And assume they're all open. Like, every job's open.
You cannot get to 10 that are better than the Giants. I don't know if you can get to 6 or 7. Take the American League. If I said Yankees and Red Sox, is there another American League team that even threatens as a better job than the Giants?
Houston's a good job. They're always competitive.
Yeah.
They spend. I mean, Texas, you would say, but Texas doesn't have that same tradition.
I would not say, actually.
Toronto would be one just right now, coming off of what they've done. Good roster.
That feels a little in the moment to me.
For sure, in the moment.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's.
But even if I get to those.
That's Canada.
And we're starting to reach a little.
Yeah. National League, you're not going to get by Phillies, maybe Mets, obviously Dodgers.
Yep.
You could have a debate about the Padres. That's sort of an interesting one, but I would say no. But I know in the moment, right, you know, you're kind of saying take roster out of it. They've got players. And I don't know, you know, Chicago.
St. Louis, he's from there.
St. Louis. Oh, you're speaking specifically about his view or just in general, everybody's view.
But I was thinking about in his view. Yeah. So you're 47.
Yeah.
You just rocked it at Tennessee. And now you're this hot candidate, and all 30 teams want to hire you. And this is a wild hypothetical, and you have your pick of the litter. And I think you look at this job, and it would be toward the top based on all the things that I laid out about, you know, ownership. And that would be the big one for me is, do I go to a place where there is stability in the front office and there's an ownership group that is committed to spend? And I do think that you have both of those here.
We invite you to go check it out. We talked to Tony about everything from his baseball philosophy to whether or not this is actually too big of a jump from the NCAA to Major League Baseball, his impressions of both the people and the city of San Francisco, all the way down to what he wants to do with George Kittle and where he'd like to sit at a Warrior game and what was the actual, who's the number one person he actually wants to meet now that he's the manager of the Giants. All of that is in there. Tony's fantastic. Check it out. We'll have some more of it for you throughout the week, but check that out, Odyssey app or YouTube if you want to hear the whole Tony Vitello thing. Now, also, the other two shows, not to be outdone by any stretch, and this is on the same topic because it's trade deadline day and the Niners did nothing. And we're getting a wide range of opinions about that. But check this out. I want to go whap with these both of these two. Ross Tucker is on with Steiny and Goo, and Brian Baldinger is on with the Morning Roast. Here's what both of them had to say earlier today about how they think the Niners should handle the deadline at a time when the deadline wasn't over yet. So they don't have the information at this time that the Niners will do nothing. So run what happened up against what they said at the time as we approached the deadline. Here's what Baldy said with regard to the deadline this morning.
Kyle deserves, the way he's coaching and the way Sala is coaching, like, you kind of want to say, all right, we know what the Rams are. You know, we know what Seattle is. Like, if we're going to go win these games or beat these guys to the playoffs, and Arizona's going to be a tough out for anybody down the stretch because they've got everybody, like, in place right now, including the quarterback, you're going to need more firepower. You know, I don't know when Pearsall's coming back, but I feel like you can't really think that far down the road. I think you got to look at this year and within a vacuum and do whatever you can to upgrade the roster, regardless of the money you're paying other guys. You can always kick the can down the road. It's just the way the Eagles do business. It's the way teams do business right now. You load up, it's the arms race. You load up with everything that you can to compete as hard as you can to try to win as many games as you can.
That is absolutely not what they did at all.
No. They did not load up, and it's not an arms race. They didn't do absolutely everything they could to try to win now, and it's because they have an eye toward next year. Not that this year doesn't matter, but they don't want to cut off their nose to spite their face. They want to make sure they're still loaded in draft capital for next year, while also, hey, let's see where this little 6-3 can go.
Ross Tucker, Steinian guru, with regard to how aggressive should the Niners be?
Well, I think they absolutely should be looking at it, especially with all the injuries that they've had, the fact that they are very much in the mix. The interesting thing is, you know, there are some people that think the two best teams in the NFC right now are in the NFC West, but it's the Seahawks and the Rams.
Mm.
And so, you know, you wonder if that gives the Niners any pause or hesitation, or if it makes them more aggressive. You know, I think part of it probably depends on how they feel about some of their recent edge rusher additions, but now Mikael Williams goes on. It's like every time they add somebody, they lose somebody else. Mm. So I would think that they are very much in the mix to still get one more guy.
Okay, and again, so Ross Tucker, they should be in the mix for one more guy. Brian Baldinger, you've got to add and think about now. The Niners did not do these things. And we got two guru.
Yep.
You got a couple of, right? You got a couple of Biggie Smalls in there.
He made him say,
Yeah, love it. So anyway, that's what those guys were thinking then. I'm a little bit south of Baldy, but more kind of along the lines of Ross Tucker. Baldy was like, you got to push the chips in the middle of the table. I don't agree, but I do think that you needed to do something, not only because you're going to need depth on that defensive line, but also because you just need to send a message to those players that we appreciate the hell out of your playoff contention that you're in right now, even though you probably shouldn't be, and that would feel good to them. And now they don't have that. So whether the Niners mean to do this or not, this very much will resonate with a lot of the fan base as the Niner front office publicly stating today, it's adorable that you're 6-3, but you're not really a contender for this thing. So that's how we handled it. That's how it's going to resonate, whether they mean it or not.
I get it, and there are different ways of looking at it, and I'm sure they'll speak to it in their own way in the coming days where you didn't think that it was worth it to go out and outbid for Quinnen Williams, which would have been a first and a second, and maybe another one of your defensive linemen. You can't afford to trade them, so you gut next year's draft for a great player, a phenomenal player, an all-pro caliber, or you go out there and try to make another Keon White type of move, which is what you did about a week ago, where you traded a sixth and got a player and a seventh, and you moved back in the draft however many spots, and it was a micro deal, and I do think that there are those types of moves that are still out there, but to your point about the message, even if you go out and you find another Cleveland Furl type player, and Arden Key was a name that many people were targeting as a guy you might go out and trade for a fifth or a sixth or whatever to get Arden Key. Even if you make another move of that level, I don't think fans are going to say, oh yeah, you're really going for it. You're just looking to add bodies now. So I think that ship has sailed.
You pointed this out earlier. We've pointed it out a bunch over the last few weeks. Here's one way to look at it. And again, I've stated my case. I would have loved the Niners to bring someone in the mid-range today, but they didn't. And the Niners sent messages before the year even started that they were not going to have an all-in type of an approach to this season. So if that was the way they were thinking before the year, and as a fan, you're totally up for not accepting that if you want, but that is where the Niners were. They're not in an all-in mode before the year started. So if they weren't there before the season, and then you lose Fred Warner and Nick Bosa, why on God's green earth would they be in all-in mode now?
And you lost Brock Purdy and Ricky Pearsall.
Right.
And you still don't have Brandon Ayuk. And you haven't had Bryce Huff. And now you don't have Mikael Williams.
I mean, so I get that your answer could be because at the beginning of the year you weren't 6-3. You were 0-0. That's a fair response. But the larger point is this is not how they were looking at this year to start the year. And now there's even less reason to do that. So that's why I said yesterday, stick one foot on both sides of the fence, and it hurts. But that's what I would have done.
And that's where they are. And just you had me thinking all show about the age-old debate that you and I have about process versus results. Oh. And this, to me, was a process trade deadline. They're not looking at the standings and seeing 6-3. And you know what, Mark? You're a half game out of being the one seed. and a bye and home field throughout the playoffs. But if you look at it the other way, you lose to the Rams and you might get jumped by Detroit and Chicago, Minnesota, and Carolina could tie you. And so it's a little bit like the Warriors last year in the Western Conference, where between seeds 2 and 9, it was about a 3-game difference. And that's where the Niners are, and that's results. The process is, this is what we're doing. We're keeping our picks, and we're trying like heck this year, but we have an eye toward next year. And the results are, man, we're better than we thought we were. So they're acting on process, not on results.
Yeah, which normally I support. And again, I sort of, in a way, I guess it sounds like I half support what they did today, because there's two different ways to do this. You can either, actually, I guess there's three ways to do it. You can dumpster dive, which I guess is what they're going to do.
Yeah.
You can ride the middle, which is make an acquisition, but not at the top of the market. That's what I wanted them to do. And then there's the top of the market stuff, which, let's be honest, that's what most fans want, because it's flashy and there's names and it's Max Crosby or Trey Hendrickson or Quinnen Williams, yeah, or whatever. That never fully made sense to me. And then here, I'm now actually looking at the actual end-of-the-day report out of The Athletic. This comes from Vic Tafer, who is essentially co-workers with both Matt Barrows and then on a national scale, Diana Rossini. And this is their joint report with how it went for the Niners today. He says that the Niners called the Bengals and the Jets and the Dolphins. And the three names that were discussed were Trey Hendrickson, Jermaine Johnson, and Jalen Phillips. Phillips ended up with the Eagles. Johnson and Hendrickson ended up not moving. And the report says, and he has quotations around it, so this is a source that said, quote, price was too high, nothing was close. Jets wanted a second rounder for Johnson. Phillips went to Philadelphia for a third round pick, and he's a rental and gets hurt a lot. Hendrickson is also a rental. The Bengals reportedly wanted a first to even consider having that conversation. So that was the price. I support the Niners not getting those guys. I support that.
Well, and yeah, getting into a spot where you're spending draft capital for a rental for a team that, quite frankly, needs more than just one player. I think you need 3 or 4 players. If you want to think about replacing the guys you've lost, you lost Nick Bosa, you need an edge. You lost the best linebacker in football, you need a linebacker, although you don't really need a linebacker because Bethune's been great and, yep, D. Winters has been more than solid. And you're down a couple of wide receivers. Well, you still have receivers, and you don't really use receiver as much as you would on other teams, but you start to think about all the things you've lost. Most of them are unreplaceable. Warner and Bosa, you can't replace them. So can you backfill with bodies? I still think you can, and I think that they will continue to do that.
Yeah, I just wanted to see them do it at a little bit more of an oomph level.
Yeah.
You know, backfill. I wanted to, there's front fill, there's backfill, there's midfill. I wanted to midfill. That's what I wanted to do. I also understand, though, they don't have a lot of those picks to mess around with. What you're seeing a lot at that level, for instance, the guy that went, I'm going to blank on his name, but the guy that went from the Titans to the Ravens, you know, he had had 4.5 sacks in the last 4 weeks. And I think he went for like a fifth or a sixth round pick. The Niners, yeah, don't have
Draymond Jones.
Draymond Jones. They don't have a fifth or a sixth round pick. Don't have them.
No, nope. They got a bunch of fourths.
Yeah.
And they might wind up with a fifth, but you don't yet know. So the other piece about Quinnen Williams is next year he has a cap hit of 21.750, which is, that's a huge number. That's the majority of what you have left under the cap. And after that, he makes another 25 the year after that, but there's an out after next year. So it would have just been probably half a year and then another year of high price, and then you probably would part ways with him too.
Yeah, so here's the other side to it, though. You know what I mean? Like, I had said there's two pieces to this. They got no one. I don't like that. But the 49ers are really sticking to their plan, and whether I like the plan or not, I always respect that. I respect that out of any human being that's like, this is what I'm doing, and I'm sticking to it. Come hell or high water, this is what I want to do. So I respect that side of it. And obviously, at least on this show, and I think on most shows, and I think with most fans, most living rooms, watching television and watching the Niners, I think there's a healthy respect for Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch with the majority of the fan base. I do think that there, you talked about it earlier, there's this group. And I always wonder, like, where exactly they're coming from. And check it out. Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. This came through a short time ago. 925. This is Kyle's, checks notes, ninth season. How patient do you want us fans to be? Who gets 9 years when they haven't won a Super Bowl? I don't know about you. I don't ever kind of answer it that way. Like, to me, that is very short-sighted thinking, or at least narrow thinking. The idea that you only get to keep your job if you win the Super Bowl. But it's an interesting sort of a way to figure out what everyone's perspective is. Do you look at Kyle over 8 years, and which statement sort of lands with you more? Like, which statement is more the way you think? He's been here for 8 years and he hasn't won a Super Bowl. Or he's been here for 8 years and in half of them, he's ended up in the NFC Championship game. Both true. Which one means more to you?
Yeah, it depends on how you look at it.
How do you look at it?
I look at it and I look at the latter, where you've been to four NFC Championship games and two Super Bowls. And to answer the texter, and I think it was a rhetorical question, but there's actually an answer in there. And the answer is Sean McDermott. Sean McDermott was hired the same year as Kyle Shanahan, and he's been to, checks notes, zero Super Bowls. I think he's been to one AFC Championship game.
One.
Now, they've been to seven playoffs in 8 years, and he has a better winning percentage,
right,
but he hasn't been to the Super Bowl, and Kyle's been to two. And McDermott has been to just the one AFC Championship game, I believe. They didn't win it. And Kyle's been to four of those. So to answer the texter, who gets to be around that long? Sean McDermott does.
Hi.
And Zach Taylor's only 2 years behind. Matt LaFleur is in the same year, 2 years behind. And neither one of them, Zach Taylor's been to a Super Bowl. They lost. Matt LaFleur in Green Bay, they haven't been to the Super Bowl. So these are all coaches who are liked and kept around by their organizations, even though they haven't won the Super Bowl.
Looks like the Bills have twice been to the AFC Championship.
I appreciate the research.
Lost to the Chiefs both times.
Imagine that.
Including last year. That was the Bills who took on the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game last year.
Mike Tomlin, longest tenured head coach in football, and they won the Super Bowl when you were probably in junior high. Maybe not that long ago, but a long time ago since they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But he's been around forever.
Wasn't that when
Big Ben.
Roethlisberger beat the Seahawks?
That sounds right.
I was at that game. It was in Detroit.
2006. Yes, it was.
I was in Detroit. I was there. I met Joe Montana on Media Row.
Actually, they beat...
And Steve Young.
They beat Arizona in 2009 in Tampa. That was the last time they won it.
Oh, okay.
So the 2006 might have been... That might have been a Cowher special.
Yeah, that might not have been Tomlin. I think you're right. That might have been Bill Cowher.
But anyway,
the jaw.
It's been since February of 2009. We're coming up on 17 years since the Steelers won, and yet he keeps his job because he's really good and they always win.
Yeah, I mean, that's like, the thing. Like, I'm more like the next text that comes through, Boxer and Gerson, 707, no-brainer. We watched Chip Kelly, Jimmy, Mike Nolan. I'd give Kyle a lifetime contract. Yeah. I mean,
You mentioned Mike Nolan.
Yeah.
He makes an appearance in this Friday's Higher or Lower.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah.
Wow. You've already got it all set on a Tuesday afternoon.
It's a Rams week.
Man.
It's all set. We got a Ram Niner theme on Friday.
Overtime.
Yep.
All right. Hey, Feliciano in 20 minutes. Grandy's grades next hour. 888-957-9570. Niner fans, how did it make you feel today when the Niners did nothing at the trade deadline? The summit is on Thursday this week. Jack's Restaurant and Bar in Pleasant Hill. All of us together again discussing another Warrior season. And we got games back-to-back nights leading into the summit. Tonight, host in Phoenix. Tomorrow, in Sacramento. Me and Dibs from 2 to 4. All the hosts from 4 to 6. Live from Jack's Restaurant and Bar. And you know how that commercial for Jack's is like, you get a French dip that'll change your life? I'm looking for my life to be changed on Thursday.
I love it.
Jax, I am a French dip connoisseur. I've never had your French dip. Change my life. I challenge you. Let's see it. I'm going to have one of them.
You put that French upon your dip.
When
we
dip, you dip, me dip.
We dip.
That's what I'm going to do.
That's it.
All right. Great prizes to give away. Me and Dibs 2-4, all of us 4-6. We cannot wait to meet you there. Jack's Restaurant and Bar in Pleasant Hill. They'll have great drink specials. That's coming up Thursday. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. Willard and Dibs.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Joe Shasky from The Morning Roast, and you're listening to Willard and Dibs. If you're doing what I'm doing, then you're listening on the radio. If not, you could check them out and see what kind of hat Willard's wearing right now on YouTube.
Well, today it's a golf hat.
Okay.
Now, you can golf in any hat, but this hat is in particular a golf hat because it's a brand that's a golf brand.
You had me thinking about you in a bucket hat, and I can't picture it.
I've done it before. It ain't great.
No.
No. Not my jam.
No.
Not, my head's too big. My head's too big for that.
Yeah, I just...
So it just doesn't look right.
I just had a thought of you in a bucket hat, and it kind of made me smile.
But I'm not an old man yet, so I might get there. Because that's... Old men love the bucket hat. Because that way, less sunscreen.
Yep.
You know? You just put that thing on and walk around like you got an umbrella on your head, and you don't need to worry about getting a sunburn on the back of your neck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're not a visor guy either. I can't picture you in a visor.
No, but I used to be. I used to be. Like in the 20s, I would. I'd rock a visor. And when you look back on those pictures, that's a, what were you doing? But yeah, not anymore. Not anymore. There's less hair. It's more gray.
Yeah.
We're not doing that anymore. Anyway. There's a reason it's a golf hat, and that's because tonight I'm going to go check out Ballpark Back 9.
All right.
Y'all heard about this over at Oracle Park where they turn the baseball stadium into a bunch of golf platforms and you fire shots down onto the field. They've been doing this for a few years. It is so fun. It's open to the public starting tomorrow. So just check out my social media tonight and tomorrow if you want to get a look at what it all looks like, because I can't wait to get over there and fire a few golf balls around Oracle Park. I promise not to make too many divots, and I'll let you know what it looks like. So, yeah, my newly formed Twitter feed, which is back, that's Mark_T_Willard. Instagram is MT Willard. I will be sure to be posting some stuff.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the map, and it looks pretty fun. You start out there in right center field, yep. And then you kind of bebop your way in around the upper deck, and then you drop down in 9 different spots, and there's some food and beverage as well.
They usually let you fire something from right around home plate, too. Now, not a lot of drivers in 3 woods,
because
we don't want to kill anybody out in the cove. But get your short irons out and see if you can, hit like a Willie Adamas statue or something like that. Anyway, it's a ton of fun.
Yeah.
Ton of fun. Can't wait to go tonight. So, anyway... 888-957-9570, Feliciano in 8 minutes. We've been talking out how you fans feel about the Niners' lack of movement here on trade deadline day. They did nothing. So here we go to Red Reggie in Oakland. Reggie, thank you for calling. What's up?
Hey, how's it going, fellas? Hey, I was hoping that you guys, first of all, I love listening to you guys on my way home. But I'm actually kind of conflicted, so I'm hoping that you guys can actually make some sense of it for me. I know with the injuries of this season and the turnover last year, I really wasn't expecting them to make an appearance to the Super Bowl or even win the Super Bowl, so my expectations was pretty low. But the fact that they didn't make any moves, I don't know how to feel about that. I mean, we're the San Francisco 49ers, right? I mean, that's just like the Warriors not going for it. A part of me just don't it just doesn't sit well with me. And I just find it a hard time believing that we couldn't make one move, at least for depth or there wasn't one move out there for us to get better. So hopefully you guys can make some sense of it for me.
Yeah. Red Reggie, thanks. I think from like sort of an emotional concept, I agree completely with Reggie. It's like, how can you be the Niners and 6-3 and look at the framework of the NFC West and not want to bolster your run? Because right now, I don't know if you're going to win this division, but you look like better than likely to make the playoffs, don't you?
Yep.
What are their playoff odds right now? Like they're probable to make it, right? Or just their percentages, you know? What are their odds to make the playoffs?
Probably about 65%.
Like, so they're probably going to go. And you want to be able to dance when you get there. So I fully understand that. At the same time, I can make sense of it if you agree with what the Niners are doing. John Lynch apparently, according to reports, made himself a rule at the start of the year. And that is, I will not, say it with me, write it on the chalkboard 50 times, I will not acquire any player who is a free agent at the end of the year. That was a rule he made.
Yep.
You want to disagree with it? You can, but he made that rule, and damn it, he's sticking to it. And then, as far as the players they did like, they made phone calls. The price was really, really high. And as far as the lower price guys, they kind of don't have the draft picks to get that done because they already got Keon White last week and Bryce Huff in the offseason. So emotionally, I agree with how you fans feel. Conceptually and strategically, I can at least understand why the Niners did nothing. It's disappointing, though.
Yep, it's disappointing. And if you look at all the deals that were made, there were some smaller things that happened. I'm looking at the Bears acquiring Joe Tryon Shoyenka, who is an edge rusher. He's a depth piece, and they gave up a seventh round. The Browns got a sixth, and the Bears got a seventh back. So something like that, I guess you could have had happened, but you already did that with Keon White. That was already your bottom of the draft board kind of a depth move. And you said it before, when you lose Mykel Williams and you lose Yetur Gross-Matos for a long time, maybe that prompts you to make another one of these moves, but you don't have a lot of those bottom of the draft picks. You've got a lot of fourth rounders, and I'm looking at all the people who were traded today, and they were either Quinnen Williams and Sauce Gardner, big time draft capital, or this Tryon Shoyenka, Joe Tryon Shoyenka, which is a bottom of the board kind of a move. So there wasn't really that many guys available in the middle.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Joe Tryon Shoyenka.
Who is
that? The Browns traded him to the Bears.
And he's a pass rusher?
He's an edge.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah, I don't know who that is.
Yeah.
What'd they give up for him?
The Bears got a seventh and Tryon Shoyenka, and they gave up a sixth.
Okay, so they did the whole, like, drop from the right. Sixth to the seventh thing.
Yeah, and then They got an edge rusher who...
Same deal as Keon White.
Exactly.
Same
sort of a deal.
Same deal, okay.
So,
all right.
I mean,
yep.
That's just the way that went. And so, I don't know, it's kind of... I think that's just kind of the cost of doing business at this point,
yep.
Where you weren't going to shop at the top, and... The bottom, you didn't really have the picks to do it.
I think the other thing that's a dynamic here is it's not just that you lost Gross-Matos on Friday and Mykel Williams on Sunday, but you also got a win. You know what I mean? I really think that that's important here, because if you came out today and you were 5-4 and you were losers of two in a row to two teams that both have a losing record and you lost two more D linemen, I think a lot of people would be like, look, white flag it. I mean, we're still in the race, but let's not go crazy here. This isn't going anywhere good. Instead, it's completely different. You scored over 30 points for the first time. You won by double digits, and you're on a crash course with your rival this weekend in the game of the week. And that's how fans feel. So when you give that to the fans, they're going to get fired up. Like, believe me, my kids are already talking to me about Sunday. Niners, Rams, what are we doing? You know, can we get tickets, Dad? Like, they're fired up. And then the deadline comes, and everybody's just like, psh, boo.
Well,
air out of the balloon.
I get it, but if you want to look across the league, it's not like the Warriors in free agency this summer, where literally every team had made a move and the Warriors had made no moves.
But the Warriors are saying the same thing that the Niners are today. We already made our move.
Right, when the Warriors eventually made the moves that we all knew that they were going to make, but we all felt that same fizzle when stuff was happening July 4th, July 5th, and the Warriors were sitting on their hands.
But I mean the trade idea. Like a lot the Warriors, when people are like, so now we're going to do Giannis, the Warriors are like, we made our deal.
Yeah.
And the Niners are largely using that same line today. You want a depth? We got Keon White. You want another pass rusher? We traded for Bryce Huff. We did it already. They're using that same logic.
Right.
It's unsatisfying, but I get it.
I do too. And if you look at the trade deadline today, there were a couple of big names, and Jacoby Myers gets traded by the Raiders. Yeah. But other than that, it wasn't really a flurry of trades.
No.
There was Sauce and Quinnen, and the Chargers picked up a tackle because they need a really large person who can block people. And so they acquired a tackle for a seventh rounder. And mostly, other than that, yeah, Jacoby Myers and not much else happened.
Let's do one more. Lucky in the city. Hi, Lucky. What you got?
Hey, afternoon, fellas. Yeah, I was a little disappointed, man. But listening to you guys, it kind of makes sense. Like, if we don't have the assets to give up and get some of these guys, and I wouldn't want to get some of these guys anyway because we know they're kind of off and on like a light switch. So I'd rather wait and shop at the Dollar Tree, man, and see if we can get a couple of people like that because we do need bodies, man. Like, I'm not expecting a big trade, but we need like some small, two or three small trades, like soon, like as of tomorrow. So hopefully they'll do that, man. So no worries.
Yeah, Lucky, I hear you. I think you're spot on. Thanks for the call. It's just hard. It's hard for a fan base.
Trades are hard.
Well, you can understand the logic, but at the same time, 6-3 Rams coming to town.
Trades are hard.
You want to bang your head against the wall with a helmet on it. You want to, like, you know, you want to do what Claire Kittle does to George Kittle. You want to whack the shoulder pads. Bang, let's go. You want to do that. And the Niners today are kind of like, yeah. But, you know, next year, it's hard. It's like, is it sensible? Sure. Nobody wants sensible. Nobody's looking for sensible entertainment. That's not what I'm like. If I gave you tickets to a show tonight, you're like, what am I in for? Well, it's sensible.
Yeah. Hopefully this band will keep it down. Like, can you guys turn it down a little bit?
I'm like, I don't want your tickets.
Nah.
I don't want your stupid tickets.
I'm looking for sensible entertainment.
I don't want that.
I mean, 6-3, no. Are you not entertained? You should be entertained.
I'm entertained, but I think people are also annoyed. It's just a constant flow of injuries and being told that what they're looking at is not really all that real. So you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM, in HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey Sports Station in the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries. Always live on the free Odyssey app. Coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.